There's a wind and it blows and it thunders, and the rains come and go on the plains. Once I saw you there standing before me, and now I am here all alone. And I know deep within me you live on and on, like the waters of life and the salt in the sea. You live on and on, but I don't get when the waters of life and the salt of the sea, they dissolve. When I die, while you're alive, where am I? When I die,
Sonnet number 50. How heavy do I journey on the way? William Shakespeare. How heavy do I journey on the way? When what I seek, my weary travels end, doth teach that case and that repose to say, thus far the miles are measured from thy friend. The beast that bears me, tired with my woe, plods dully on to bear that weight in me, as if by some instinct the wretch did know his rider loved not speed. Being made from thee, the bloody spur cannot provoke him on, that sometimes anger thirst into his hide, which heavily he answers with a groan, more sharp to me than spurring to his side. From that same groan doth put this in my mind, my grief lies onward and my joy behind. The poet is describing a lover. The lover is riding on his horse and going ahead. But the lover is absolutely unwilling to move. because he is thinking of his beloved who is left behind. Even the horse is unwilling to travel because the horse knows the rider is unhappy. My master is unhappy. Yet the journey is going on. The beloved is left behind. The lover is moving away. Probably it's a story of some village where the lover has left behind the beloved. Now is riding, moving to some other place, some other town, some other village. But the journey is heavy. It's not the journey of the body. The emotions are heavy. There is a pain of separation. His love is left behind and the lover is moving ahead. And even the horse has known this and the horse is unwilling to move. And when the horse is unwilling, the rider hits the horse with his shoe, with his spur, and the horse cries in pain. And when the horse cries in pain, the rider is reminded of his own pain. And the most famous line by Shakespeare: "My grief lies onward and my joy behind." I am moving forward, the lover says, but my joy is left behind and my grief is ahead. It is the other way around. People usually make journeys so that they feel happy. They reach to new destinations because they want to feel happy. Here the rider, here the lover is unhappy because his love is left behind. How heavy do I journey on the way, when what I seek my weary travels end? Doth teach that case and that repose to say, thus far the miles are measured from thy friend. The beast that bears me, tired with my woe, plots dully on to bear the weight in me, as if by some instinct the wretch did know his rider loved not speed, but made from thee. The bloody spur cannot provoke him on, that sometimes anger thrust into his hide, which heavily he answers with a groan, more sharp to me than spurring to his side. And for that same groan, the horse is groaning and moaning in pain. But that same groan doth put me in my mind, my grief lies onward and my joy behind. This sonnet is unknowingly a spiritual piece of work. Who is the lover and who is the horse and who is left behind and who is in front? It is the journey of purity. When you decide to follow the pure life, the old pleasure, they remind, they pull you. The whisper, come back. The Maya. The biological itch. The same dopamine calls you back. Come back. Come back to the old pleasures of the senses. The journey is heavy. The horse is unwilling. The body is unwilling. The body is also missing the old pleasures. When you begin the life of Brahmacharya, it is like climbing a mountain with chains. Very heavy. Very difficult. Very tough. The mind wants the old pleasure. The body craves for the old itch. the old chats, the old phone talks, the old touch, the old sensual happiness, the old sense gratification. The lover feels that my joy is here. Joy is left behind and grief is in front of me. Purity appears heavy. Purity appears like a painful journey. Purity appears like a grief, a sorrow, a suffering. Because you are moving ahead. This journey itself is so tough. But when you know what you're going to get, when the lover will reach the destination, when the horse will reach the destination, it will know that this love was just a complete exhaustion. Sensual pleasures are permanent sensual exhaustion. It is the total drain on the nervous system. It was the greatest leak. And when you reach at the top of the mountain, then you understand what joy is there to be on the top. Then you understand what joy is there to be. Absolutely unbridled, uncaged. You taste the joy of freedom, the joy of liberty. Below, there is unhappiness. You feel it is happiness, but it is nothing but cage, prisons, exhaustion, emptiness. It is just the mind here and it is the heart here. The mind is deceptive. The heart is sincere. The heart is full of love, mind is full of logic. It is the victory of heart over mind. The mind is pulled toward the sensual pleasures, but the heart has tasted the bliss of divine love. Today is the 9th day of this journey of pure life. The energy economy. The bankruptcy of desire. Lust is not so cheap. Lust is very costly. The sensual pleasures are not so cheap. The sense indulgence is not cheap. It is very costly. It costs you vitality. It costs you memory. It costs you energy. You have to spend all this in order to get some moments of sensual happiness. It is like you are having a house and there is a cold. There is a cold and you have a beautiful house. So you start burning your furniture to get some warm. How is this deal? Burning costly furnitures for the sake of moments of warmth. Lust is like that. It promises, but it deceives. You spend your vitality, you spend your energy, your memory. That's why a lustful person is always exhausted. A sensual person always lacks vitality. There is an always a sense of exhaustion and always a sense of tiredness in the body. Because mind is divided. Mind is in the state of fatigue. It is total bankruptcy. This desire is very costly. But it is addictive. The old dopamine pulls you. The rider is going, the horse is going, but the old pleasure, the old love, it whispers, come back. Come back to the comfort zone. Come back to the same sensual chats and talks. Come back to the old stories and fantasies. Come back to the old physical touches. Come back to the old sexual pleasures. Not knowing that this is absolute bankruptcy. It is total robbery of the vitality, of the memory, of the energy, of the life force. You become a beggar in the marketplace of senses. The journey is heavy. But if you continue it, the result is joy, the result is happiness, the result is the fountain of bliss. And once you reach on the top, you reach at the top, you find this little pleasures. Absolute waste of time. Lust is not sin, it is stupidity. Intolerable stupidity. It is not the question of virtue or sin, it is sheer foolishness. You can become a billionaire of consciousness by leading a pure life, or you become a poor who has wasted all his money. Purity is like, vitality is like the currency. And each one of us is carrying that currency. It's like a poor man, it's like a man who is sitting on the mine of gold and begging. The beggars of consciousness can become the millionaire of consciousness. So desire is costly. The second is the wealth of inner treasure. Purity is the greatest wealth. Why not to become the richest person on this planet Earth? How is this desire? To reach the height of opulence. The richest, the greatest wealth is purity. In the East, they talk of ojas. When the man is full of brahmacharya and the man is full of purity, his eyes radiate. His speech becomes powerful. The body is full of radiation. How this happens? When the energy is unleaked, it pulls inside and becomes a great momentum of force. You become the treasure house of power. You don't have to think of power. You don't have to invoke power. Power is the byproduct of purity. Purity is the greatest strength. Purity is the greatest wealth. The third, the depth of still lake. When the lake is silent, it reflects the moon fully. But when the lake is choppy, distracted, the moon is divided. Our mind is like a lake. The more still it is, the more it will reflect the divine. But when the lake is divided, when the mind is distracted by unnecessary relationships, by nonsensical contacts, by useless digital consumptions, by unwanted attachments, the mind becomes distracted. Unlimited internet. People keep on watching something on the internet because they have data and they don't want to go it unused. Just as a mother in a household wants that all the food should be eaten by all the members of the family. Next day it should not go waste. So also, they have data remaining. So they spend in watching videos and let the poison enter the nervous system. That is just a momentary titillation, a sensation. But that momentary titillation, that momentary sensation is so costly. You fall down from the height of purity to the abyss of darkness. And when the mind is in impurity, you can't think clearly. Your mind is clouded. Your mind is not focused. You feel distracted. You cannot focus. You cannot write poetry. You cannot read poetry. You cannot paint a picture. You cannot sing a song. You cannot create a sculpture, a statue. You cannot become a creative person. Creativity is the byproduct of purity. The greatest creative people on this planet Earth were those who preferred to remain single. They did not want to enter into household. They preferred a life of bachelor and spinsters. The purer the mind, the creative it is, the more creative it becomes. That's why keep trying to become creative all the time. If I tell you, can you create an app or a gadget which is absolutely new in this BK world, what do you will create? Sukhdev bhai. Think of a gadget, how it will be the most creative, which nobody has thought till now. An absolutely new gadget. A creative one, a cost friendly, a budget friendly. It should be something very different. Can you think of some app, some gadget, some device? Absolutely innovative. Never heard before, never thought before. Something new, which will become a blessing for the entire Brahmin family or the world at large. Some new gadget. something. It could be anything. People create so many gadgets. There is one gadget. There is a bathtub. And in that bathtub, there is a stand and a book. So while taking bath, you can read a book. Have you seen that gadget? It is so creative. So somebody thought of it, no? That's why it came. It's new. So think of a gadget. Think of a device which is absolutely new. When Dr. Madan Mohan Malviya from India went to meet Einstein in Germany, Einstein had called him at a particular time, a fixed time. But Einstein did not turn up. He asked Einstein's wife, "Where is Einstein?" He said, "He is taking bath. When he will come out, there is no time. Once he go in the bathroom, he can sit for hours together. And we don't want to disturb. It is his meditation." The theory of relativity was discovered, was invented in that bathtub. He plays with those soap bubbles, Einstein. He thinks of the world and the universe. He is an absolutely absent-minded. There is no timing. He can sit in the bathtub for 8 hours. But when he comes out, it is something new. Something creative, something innovative. This is the historical meeting of Dr. Madan Mohan Malviya and Einstein on record. Dr. Malviya was shocked how eccentric this man is with his idiosyncrasies. But this is how a genius is. They don't care for the patterns and the rituals of the world. They live in their own world. So, a focused mind, a concentrated mind, a pure mind is like that calm and limpid lake. Clean. It reflects, it's like a mirror. It reflects the moon in its totality. While a distracted mind, a mind distracted with all the unnecessary contacts, is a choppy, a divided lake. So this is all about the energy economy. We have to become energy miser. Be extremely careful of using your energy. Energy is money. Energy is currency. Don't waste it. You have to become a moving, a mobile energy bank. Powerful all the time. Not just powerful in the morning and during Amrit Vela. By afternoon, by evening, by night. The energy graph should rise and rise and rise. Every movement should make you all the more energetic. Every interaction makes me all the more energetic. This is the game of energy. This is the game of purity. So the first principle is the bankruptcy of desire. Don't think that desire is so good. The desire will call you like that lover's love is calling back. But no, it is not my cup of tea. I have to move ahead. The wealth of inner treasure. Understand how purity is important. How purity is wealth, energy is everything. If you exhaust your energy, you feel tired. You can't do exercise, you can't run, you can't jump, you can't dance, you cannot rejoice, you cannot sing. When the mind is impure, you cannot talk on purity. The confidence is lost. Purity is freedom. Impurity creates desires. You have expectations from people. Purity is absolute freedom. You don't want anything from anybody. They come, they praise, they come, they criticize. Let them do what they want. You don't want people to remember you. If I go away, if I die today, I want people to forget me immediately. I have no desire that they remember me. They should just disperse and not form a cult around me. The third is the depth of still lake. Become a still lake. When the mind is pure, it remains focused. You can become a spiritual scientist. You can become a spiritual engineer. You can become a spiritual doctor. You can diagnose your own illnesses and come out with solutions. Purity is the divine medication, is the greatest medicine. But initially it is very heavy, very difficult, like a poison. But the poison will become nectar at the end. So this is how the journey of purity is. My grief lies onward and my joy behind. It will get reverse. My grief is lying behind and my joy is in front. So we have to create a new anti-Shakespearean poem of purity. Om Shanti.
As a human, I live in a body made of flesh, bones, and blood of the earth. There's a fire and water within me, and the air that I breathe of the world. And I know deep within me, I live on and on, like the waters of life and the salt in the sea. I live on and on. But I don't yet know where the waters of life and the salt of the sea, they dissolve. There's a wind and it blows and it thunders, and the rains come and go on the plains. Once I saw you there standing before me, and now I am here all alone. And I know within me you live on and on, like the waters of life and the salt in the sea. You live on and on, but I don't yet know where, when the waters of life and the salt of the sea, they dissolve. When I die.